our Unity players would come forward and take their places, please. We have a special offering for you this morning. This story was originally written by Unity's poet laureate, James Dillett Freeman. He worked in Unity his entire life. He started working for the Fillmores as a young lad and worked in silent Unity, ran the ministerial school for a while, and he wrote constantly throughout his entire life, poems and short stories and little magazine articles, and whenever Unity needed something written, they would turn to him and he would come through. He wrote a book called Once Upon a Christmas, and for a period of about 6 or 8 years, every year he would write a new Christmas story. And this is one of those stories. It's called An Event of Major Importance.
The story we are about to relate is only the beginning of the story. It's about a birth of a child, and you can't get much more at the beginning than that. Most events like this go unrecorded until long after they have occurred. Then, usually all we have is someone's unsubstantiated, often sketchy, often fanciful tale.
That's why I don't want this to be just my story. I want it to be the story of all those who had any part in the event. In our time, every child is born in a hospital. And since this child wasn't, and there was a hospital nearby, I wanted to find out why.
The hospital was one of those little community hospitals you'd find in rural areas, the kind several towns go together to build. When the director was reached on the phone, he said that he didn't know anything about a mother-to-be being turned away, but finally, reluctantly, agreed to an interview.
After you called me, I naturally made inquiries. We're here to serve everyone. I've talked to the woman who was on the reception desk the night this fellow you described came in and asked if he could bring in his wife. The hospital was full, and that's what she told the man.
Was it really full?
Certainly it was. I've checked myself. Every room was occupied. That's not an unusual condition. We're the only hospital in this area, and we're not a big city facility. And this fellow was a stranger here. When the young woman asked him where he lived, he said he was just traveling through. You have to admit that wasn't much of an answer. She asked him if he had hospital insurance, and of course he didn't.
Do you have to have insurance to get in the hospital?
No, of course you don't. The receptionist was just following directions when she asked him that. We ask everybody that.
Isn't there always room in the hospital in an emergency?
If we know it's an emergency. We didn't know that. The man didn't bring his wife in, so the young woman on the desk had no chance to see how far along she was. For all she knew, the woman might not be having the baby for a week. No, I've made a full investigation, and the receptionist did exactly the right thing. There was no room in the hospital, and she told him that.
Thank you for talking with me. Would it be okay to talk with the young woman who was on duty?
I don't know what else you expect to find. However, I suppose it would be all right.
Her story was very much like his.
The young man came in dressed in blue jeans. He had long hair and a beard, but he was clean and seemed nice. In fact, he was soft-spoken and seemed rather shy. There was nothing I could do. I didn't like turning him away. In fact, I was concerned and followed him to the door when he left. He climbed into an old beat-up Volkswagen van with shabby curtains at the window. Why are you asking? Has something bad happened? Are they suing the hospital?
No, nothing bad happened. They had their baby and everything is fine.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm sorry I had to turn them away, but there was nothing else I could do. Surely you can see that.
Yes, I can see that.
You probably want to know how the story started. It was the star that arose interest. I say star, though many astronomers said it was a comet. A French astronomer named Sarah Bertrand discovered the comet, and the paper predicted that it was going to be the most glorious sight the heavens had produced in centuries. But instead of growing brighter, it seemed to fade, at least as far as most people were concerned.
When I asked people whether they had seen it, they would look at me surprised and say, "What comet?" The papers finally announced the comet was a fizzle. But the strange thing is that it was not a fizzle, not that is for me. I saw it, and instead of fading night by night, it got brighter. Not only brighter, but the light was moving nearer to me. The phenomenon fascinated me, so much so that I emailed Bertrand.
My dear American friend, I'm amazed to hear that you see the comet. I also continue to see it, and Carl, a fellow astronomer, has also contacted me to say he, too, is tracking it. I have no idea why it is only the three of us who can see it. What is more, I have concluded it is not a comet, at least not in the ordinary sense of comets. You may think I'm crazy, but the idea has grown in me that this light is a kind of celestial beacon beckoning those who can see it to follow it. Carl has arrived at the same conclusion. If our computations are correct, in a few days the path of the light will be closest to the Earth, and it will shine on some point on the Earth's surface that is within 100 miles of the city where you live. It will require ground search to find the exact spot. We are convinced that an event of major importance is occurring. We are flying into your city and hope you will be available to join us in the search.
I eagerly await your arrival, and since I have a large house, I hope you will be my guests.
In a few days, the three astronomers were driving into the country searching for an object on which a strange light was falling that only they could see.
Our search turned out to be more difficult than I had imagined. For one thing, it had to be conducted by night when the light was visible. Of course, part of what made it hard was that we didn't have the slightest idea what we were looking for. Even when we found it, we could hardly believe that was what we had been looking for. A newborn child in a Volkswagen van? But there was no doubt, for the star was directly overhead and the light was shining straight down, enveloping the van like a mantle. Later, I questioned the people who lived in the adjacent farms. At the fourth farm, the couple blurted out quite a tale.
We'd gone to bed quite early, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and then we awoke with our room so full of light that we thought something must be on fire. We threw on some clothes and ran out into the yard, but the light was not a fire.
It wasn't any comet or star either. We could see the stars. There were no clouds, just this pulsing, dancing, swirling light. This light was down around us as if the air was full of light. It was angels. That's what it was. Then we heard the music and the voices.
What? Yes, music and voices. The most beautiful music I've ever heard. You know, we go to the Methodist church, and sometimes when the organ is playing and everybody's singing, it sounds pretty good. But that was nothing compared to this. It made me feel like praying and praising and leaping up and dancing all at the same time.
I wrote the words down so we wouldn't forget. God has lit his candle in the night, and that candle is the spirit in man. God is, and God is good, and wills us life and peace and joy. This day, God's love has given a child who will be a blessing to all the world. Do not be afraid, but rise and seek, and you will find nearby a man and a woman, and in the arms of the woman a newborn child. When you look upon the child, you will behold God, and you will kneel down and lift up your heart in praise.
We were afraid, but not too afraid, and we went across the yard and down the road and came to a van. The moment we saw it, we knew that was where we were to go. And sure enough, there was the father and the mother and a newborn child. And when we saw the child, we knew that we beheld God, and we fell on our knees and gave praise.
The story told by the farm couple only corroborated what we discovered when we arrived at the Volkswagen van. The young couple were slow to talk, but finally saw that they were with friends who believed them, incredible as their story was. My fellow astronomers and I pulled our money and gave them a gift. The baby is going to need some things, we said. So the young man finally told us how they had known each other all their life.
We've been sweethearts since we were in the fourth grade. I've always known we were going to be married. So you can imagine how I felt when one day she came to me and said,
I'm going to have a baby.
For God's sake, whose? I'd never touched her in that way. I'd just taken it for granted that someday she would be my wife, and then...
I love you. I've never loved anyone else, and I never will.
Whose baby is it? When she couldn't answer me, I left. I couldn't stand it, and I decided I had to get out of town. So I packed the Volkswagen van and started to drive away. But she is my woman, the only woman I've ever loved. I love her and only her. I turned around and went back.
I love you. I've never loved anyone else, and I never will.
Then marry me. I love you, and I'll never love anyone else. That's all that matters. I don't care whose baby it is.
Wait, I have to tell you something. You'll think I'm crazy, but you have to believe what I have to tell you, or I can't marry you.
She told me that several months ago, she had a dream. In the dream, there was an overwhelming sense of presence. It filled her with itself in a way she couldn't describe. She heard a voice that said, "You have been filled with life, and you have conceived and will bear the child of life. You are blessed, and through the child all human beings will be blessed."
I know it sounds crazy, but that's what happened. We don't understand it, but we know that we love each other and that we're meant to be married.
It's still hard to believe, but something has happened. Something that isn't just a dream. There's this light in the sky that's followed us. And the night the baby was born, there were all those... Do you believe they could really be angels?
I do believe that.
What can I say? It would be easier to say that the baby is someone other than my husband's, except that it isn't. It still sounds unbelievable, even to me, but it happened the way he told you. Was it God? Was it the Holy Spirit? Was it an angel? It never gave itself a name. I wish I could remember now the things I thought I experienced, all the things I thought I heard, all the things I thought I felt. But it gets hard to remember exactly. It's so real when it occurs, and afterward it's like a dream or something you read. That's the way it is now. But I have a child. The child is real. I know in the depths of my being I've been chosen in a very special way to be the mother of a very special child.
I've tried to put down just what the mother said. While I was listening to her, there was no doubt in my mind that she was telling me the truth. She had an unbelievable, soul-exalting experience. She had encountered something beyond her power or mind to understand, and she had been transformed. As I stood in the presence of that young mother, I knew that I was privileged to have a small part in an occurrence of major importance.
I have brought forth a baby, a wonder baby. My baby is going to be a blessing to all the world.
Then she held the baby out to me. As to the full meaning of this strange event, as to the exact significance of this birth that it has for humankind, this, of course, only the passing years will reveal. What is my belief about the child? All I know is that when her mother held her out to me and I looked into her eyes, I saw the face of God.
Thank you.
And so there's a takeaway from this story, at least there is for me, and I want to share it with you. You see, we hear this story about this new little baby girl, and we think it's about that little baby girl. Or we talk about the Christmas story of Jesus being born 2,000 years ago, and we think it's about the birth of that baby Jesus 2,000 years ago, but it's really not. There was a line buried in this script that James Dillett wrote that I want you to make sure that you hear. The angels appeared to the farm couple, and they said, "God has lit his candle in the night, and that candle is the Spirit in man. God is, and God is good, and wills us life and peace and joy. This day, God's love is given a child who will be a blessing to the world." You see, that child that God gives the world is every child that is born. Because in each one of us is that light and that love and that grace that God gives. And so this story is not only the story of the little girl, this is our story. If you've ever held a baby in your arms and looked in their face, you know the truth that when you look into the eyes, you see the face of God. As we go forth this week and we look into the eyes of everyone we meet, may we see the face of God. Namaste.